Well, 5 years ago tonight, Ryan Stuka was settling into a new job and a new adventure at the Sun Peaks Resort, about 45 minutes northwest of Kamloops here in BC. The 20-year-old from Beaumont, Alberta, near Edmonton, had set out with a close friend and planned to enjoy a winter working and snowboarding at really one of Canada's most beautiful ski resorts. And all was going according to plan. He was in contact with his parents. He was having a good time. Until the early morning hours of Saturday, February the 18th, 2018. Ryan left a house party at about 2 a.m., just a short walk from where he was living, and was never seen again. He seemed to vanish into thin air, and it wasn't until later that day, after he hadn't shown up for work, which was highly unusual for what was a very conscientious young man, that the alarm was sounded and the search for Ryan began. And that search continues to this day. A year after his disappearance, RCMP issued this plea for information.
Somebody knows something. We need people to come forward, and whatever tips, information, we do need you to step up and do what you can to help contribute to this investigation.
And yet, there's not been a breakthrough. Now, Ryan's parents, Heather and Scott, made that first long drive from Edmonton soon after their son went missing, joining what turned into an extensive and exhausted effort to try to figure out what could have happened to their son and brother, to their daughters. It is a journey they've made many times since. There have been new searches, social media awareness campaigns, billboards, a documentary, and still no answers.
No matter what it is, and we miss Ryan a lot. We want to bring him home.
Even if it's our end of our days, we'll persevere until we find him.
Now, Heather Stuka has been a real advocate for this. As you know, in missing persons cases, they do have a way sometimes of fading away unless someone champions the ongoing search. And that certainly has been what Ryan's mom has been doing for many years now. She'd written extensively about it, posted those online, and then decided to put those all down on paper, so to speak, gather all those thoughts in a book called Missing From Me, which is out now, a story about a sudden disappearance and the long and difficult journey that's followed for Ryan's family. And Heather joins me now. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
I guess I was just thinking that it was, you know, December the 1st was 5 years ago yesterday, wasn't it?
And yes, it was.
Yeah. What made you decide to put it all down on paper? It's interesting because it is both a story about it's both a tribute and sort of a confessional as well in many ways, isn't it?
I think, yeah. And I think that's exactly why I made the decision to sort of put pen to paper. I think I always knew that I wanted Ryan's story to stay long after Scott and I were on this earth, and that sometime in some future, someone would sit down and they would know how much Ryan is loved and matters, and to understand our story and what we went through this. Right now our journey hasn't ended.
Yeah. Tell me about Ryan. 'Cause, you know, I've seen the documentaries that were made and heard about him, but so many people from all across this country set out on adventures like that when they're his age, don't they?
Absolutely. And I'd have to say that Ryan was pretty introspective. You know, he had the same group of friends since really he was grade one when we moved from Edmonton to the smaller town of Beaumont, which is not so far outside the city, but he had the same group of friends. You know, he was comfortable being at home. He wasn't adventurous, so to speak. At the time, I worked for an airline, and I used to encourage him to spread his wings and maybe travel some, and that wasn't anything he was interested in. And so for me, it was, I was surprised when he said that he was thinking about going to a ski resort and working for a season. And I thought, this is great, you know, a chance to really develop, to grow, to see where you're at, to have a little bit of adventure while you're so young. And so, you know, my husband Scott and I really sort of encouraged him to follow that dream. And so, you know, not an adventurous type, loyal and funny. And, you know, of course I tell everyone he was so handsome, but, just a really athletic and all around, you know, probably very normal young man.
And he was having a great time, I gather. I know that, I guess he didn't come home for Christmas that year. I mean, he was really enjoying his first sort of taste of, I don't want to call it adult life, but that first taste of freedom you get when you're that age.
Absolutely. You know, he talked to my husband several times during the week, and you know, he'd brag to Scott that he was on 36 days straight of snowboarding. I think he loved that. I think that, you know, sort of to go a little bit outside your shell, although, you know, having said that, he really still didn't venture out much when he was there. He hung out at home, or he hung out with his roommates or with his close friends that he had met there. But he wasn't one that, you know, was out and completely get outside of his comfort zone. He still remained pretty much true to his personality that he exhibited here in town.
So I gather that's why I get the impression, just from having listened to other interviews that you've done, that you knew almost instantly. Your husband certainly talks about having known instantly that something was wrong.
Absolutely. The moment we got the text, and it sort of came as a surprise. I'm reading the words, and I can't quite form them and explain to my husband exactly what's going on. And then to have that in that moment, we just knew. We knew it wasn't going to be anything good. We knew that, you know, you want to believe all of the hopes and dreams, or maybe he's just went somewhere else. Maybe his phone is dead. Maybe he was spent too much time partying. Maybe he's holed up. Maybe he's embarrassed. Maybe he didn't show up for work. And we knew that wasn't true, but you know, you're so desperate to cling on to any little bit of hope that you will believe, I think, things so far outside of what normally would occur just to make that happen.
And I imagine, given the size of the community he was in, given how everyone knew each other, I imagine even the authorities were telling you, we're going to figure this out. Like, we're going to know what happened sooner than later.
And I think it went for very much the longest time that, you know, they just assumed that he was missing. Now, I do know that they had started law enforcement had started sort of a parallel case in case he wasn't a missing person, so they wouldn't have to backtrack and get information again. But very much in the beginning, it was treated like just a missing person, and that we would find the answers, which I think is interesting, because within that same breath, you know, they were telling us the first night after our they came after searching all day, is that, you know, on your way out of town in the day or the day after, stop by the detachment and we'll tell you what our next steps were. And I just thought, you know, like, how could any parent leave? How could they leave? We haven't found him. And that always confused me, I think.
Yeah, I guess as you pointed out many times, there's absolutely nothing that prepares you for this, right? There's no right or wrong way to approach it, to think about it, to deal with it. Like, there is no guidebook, right?
There is absolutely no guidebook. And there's an inconsistency across the board on how these sort of cases are handled, depending on what district or area that you find yourself in, depending on, I suppose, what law enforcement that you would report to, depends on the circumstances. You know, there's so many things, and yet there is no guidebook. There's nothing to tell you. And I think people get this mistaken impression that it's like what you would read in a book or see on TV or in a movie about how things progress. And there's nothing further from the truth. You're left on your own. Now, however long you have search and rescue will vary, but eventually all official channels will have to go home.
Yeah. I mean, you had such an outpouring of volunteers coming from all over the place to come and help. But yeah, I imagine from officially, if there's no news, there's just no news, right? And that leaves you sitting there wondering when the phone will ring.
That's right. And that wasn't something that we were prepared to do. So we thought if there was no help to be given to us, we would have to create it. And so we did. We started from scratch. And I think that was the most frustrating thing, because then you learn after a month that, you know, everything we had done the previous time was not done correctly, because we're not experts in it. We don't have any knowledge. And so you always feel like you're behind the eight ball. You're always trying to catch up. And for us, it was imperative. It was so important for us to do this before the snow melted, to give that chance. Now, we knew within the first couple of, well, within the first day or so, that it was not going to be rescue. It was going to be recovery. But at the end of the day, Ryan still matters. He still deserves to come home.
Yeah. And you deserve as a family to know.
Absolutely.
Do you feel like you're any closer to that at all? I guess time just, does it speed up after a while? Does it go by faster? I can't imagine.
That's a paradoxical question, to be honest. Yeah. It feels like 5 years has gone by in a blink of an eye, and yet a lifetime has passed. And we've learned so much. But, you know, I feel like perhaps we're further away now than we were before, because as time goes by, whatever evidence or things that we'll find of Ryan is now buried under 5 years of deadfall and brush. And, you know, the items that you think that you're going to find are scattered and decimated. And so, you know, I think as the years go by, there's less and less hope that we're going to be able to find the things that we need to do to have that closure.
Heather Stuka is with us this half hour from Beaumont, Alberta. She's written a book called Missing From Me, which is proving very popular. It's a very sad story. It's a long ordeal for her and her family. Their son Ryan went missing back in 2018 in February. He's not been seen since, and this book details a lot of that journey for the family. The drive just to carry on, I guess, Heather, really, and try to do all you can. I mean, you've been tireless for 5 years now. I've just been looking at all the different campaigns that were launched and so forth. When you wrote this book, I guess this was part of that effort too, to try to tell people what it was like. And what did you hope that people would get from it?
I think that, I mean, that was two part. It was cathartic to be able to put it down, all my thoughts, to expand on some of the things that, you know, we were going through. I think it was also part and piece to bring awareness not only to Ryan's case, but also to other missing people and the way that they're viewed. And then I think for me, it was the opportunity to express some of the things that we were going through, the memories that we were going through. And hopefully people will find a piece that resonates with them. There'll be something if they're going through similar tragedy or a tragedy of their own, how we processed some of those feelings.
Yeah, because you have you have kids, you have a family, you have, I'm sure you have lives. How does one continue to live with this? I imagine it must be as if everything is on pause, and yet life goes on.
Right, and we do have two daughters at home. One is 17, the other one is 22, and you know, their lives have been changed by this event. But you know, Scott and I decided early on to make that pact that, you know, we weren't going to add more to that by sort of falling apart and not sharing and finding a way to thrive so that we could participate and be present with the girls. And so, yes, we continue with the searches because for us, that's the last physical thing that we can do for our son. And it helps us live in the in-between time. So when we go up and search and we know that we've done something, that we know that we're bringing awareness, we know that we're connecting, being up in the community, then when we come home, it's easier to transition back and be present with those girls so that they can have the opportunity to live without fear, without guilt, without grief in the same way.
And you've stayed together too. I know that this can often be really destructive for couples, these sorts of traumas in a family, and yet you seem to have stuck together and been each other's pillars.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, certainly we've been married for 27 years, and so, you know, being married younger, you know, you think you see all sides of your spouse. I think you think all the mystery is gone. There's not a lot of changes that will happen. And I still remember, I think my eyes were opened wide when we were up in Sun Peaks, and I saw Scott get up every single morning and put on his, you know, his snowsuit and all of his gear. And he went out every single day to search, didn't matter what the weather was, and then still come home and manage to have that open heart and gentleness, not only to us and the girls, but to every volunteer that came by. And I think you just see somebody in a different light. And so, again, we were fortunate enough to sort of move together through our grief rather than have it separate us.
Yeah. What would you like people to know now about you, your family, and about Ryan 5 years later?
you know, I sometimes I think about the memories that we have, and I almost feel like now I'm an archaeologist digging for whatever little bits and pieces that I can glean from somebody that may have known him, that may not have come forward to let us know, you know, just little tidbits of his personality or things that he said or things that he did. Because I feel like as 5 years goes by, you know, our lives have gone on, and they've gone on without Ryan and with Ryan. But, you know, where he would have been, there's that bittersweet. You know, where would he be at 25, almost 26? What would he be doing? What would his interests be? What would he look like? And so, you know, I look for those things. And then we also try to find a way to transition into what people will consider a new normal. And for us, it still always feels like Groundhog Day. And so maybe we're better at that new normal, but I'm not sure we're quite there yet.
And I guess it matters one day. Do you still hold out hope that perhaps one day those answers will be delivered?
I'd like to. I think, you know, and that's an interesting thing because, you know, people will come up and talk about hope, and they will talk about you still need to hope that, you know, Ryan's still out there. Mm-hmm. And I do, I suppose, as his mother, want to believe that, you know, there's some place somewhere that he could be safe and still not being able to come home. But I doubt very much that that will be the case. But I hope someday that we will have some answers so that we'll have some form of closure.
Well, Heather Stuka, thank you so much for sharing your story tonight. The book is called Missing From Me. And yeah, thank you so much for being so candid as well. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.